You know, there's examples that, you know, Prabhupada's disciples, I remember, were in here at the manager. The Prabhupada even told a woman that she should, who wanted to be his disciple, to, you know, cook me for her husband, because the circumstances were such that if I didn't do it, it would be very unproductive. So sometimes you have to do that. And that's a pretty sort of, I won't even say extreme thing, because very often people find themselves, especially those who come to Krishna consciousness, find themselves in certain circumstances where they can't just all of a sudden change husbands or wives just because one person is moving faster in Krishna consciousness than another, or that one is and another one isn't. And we have to make compromises. And be patient. And have also that conviction that Krishna is a person. So he's not a, you know, he's not a formulaic God, but he's a person, and he's sympathetic to the needs and demands of individual persons as well. If we all move up a little, then we'll get a little more room for those who are coming in just now. Someone else? Any comments or questions, Sitaram? I'm just sort of sitting here talking. Have any questions? Really?
When you were mentioning about Arjun fighting on the battlefield, is that when Arjun's engaged actually in the fighting, is that then indirect devotional service? Because the actual act of it is not one of the 9 mediums of devotion.
Yeah, that's not exactly terminology, but yeah. Those direct activities of bhakti, swarup bhakti, shravanam, kirtanam, those are direct activities where you're cultivating devotional service. And then there are other activities that don't necessarily fall immediately into that category, but you're also executing Krishna's order. You're fighting on the battlefield, you're living in this world. And they're also connected to those activities because they're connected to, ultimately they're connected to them by your doing them, and they're directed by Krishna conscious rules or by Krishna conscious principles. So anything that's directed, anything that is basically meant to fulfill Krishna conscious purposes, ultimately then falls under the banner of devotional service. So that's why in Bhagavad Gita, you know, Prabhupada, when he writes in his purports, he, like everything, karma yoga, jnana yoga, hatha yoga, everything ultimately he brings under devotional service if it's done with a devotional purpose. So if the purpose is there, and Arjuna's purpose is devotional, Krishna told me to fight, so I'm fighting. He wasn't just doing it now all of a sudden because he was a king and it was his duty to fight, but because it was also Krishna's order that he should do it, so then it was actually devotional service. So if somehow or another our whole lives are based on this principle, then our lives become devotional service in all aspects, including sleeping. Because sleeping is not one of the angas of devotional service, but because it actually supports and furthers the principle, because the order is, if you're supposed to stay healthy, therefore when you do that, then that actually becomes also, it's also connected. So it's like electricity. Whatever is, you know, contacts something electrical, that also becomes like electricity.
I'm just following on from that. It was my, I guess, incorrect understanding that the actual act of following the spiritual master's instructions is devotional service. But in that description, it seems that the act itself may not be devotion, but the offering or the result of
it. It's just terminology. The overall act, yes, it's all devotional service. Following the instruction of the spiritual master, following Krishna's instruction, is all bhakti. It's all devotional service. But sometimes we also differentiate because for the following reason. Because sometimes the reason may be is that someone may say, well, my spiritual master told me to work, so therefore I'm going to work 23 hours a day and it's more important than chanting Hare Krishna. I said, but no, that's not just all that you're meant to do. There's a little difference between you working at the factory and chanting Hare Krishna. So you're supposed to do all of them. If you do them all, they're devotional service. But chanting Hare Krishna is the Yuga Dharma, and your work is what's meant to facilitate the Yuga Dharma. So we can put it all under the umbrella of bhakti, but it should also be simultaneously clear that there's a difference. So by chanting Hare Krishna, you go back to Godhead. Just by working in your factory and neglecting chanting Hare Krishna, you won't.
Following on from what you just said, and the question, isn't that why Srila Prabhupada's books are important for everybody to read? Because if you just have sadhu without shastra.
Well, it's like the example that, which was sort of really heavy thing for Srila Prabhupada to say in Los Angeles, when devotees were, I think he was on a Vyasasana, and the devotees talking about some devotee who's distributing a lot of books, and Prabhupada says, are you reading my books? And anyway, the result was the devotee said that he wasn't, or he didn't have so much time. And Prabhupada said, then what's the use? So it's not every day that Prabhupada said, what's the use to distribute his books? But the point was that we're distributing books. We're not distributing books in order to distribute books. We're distributing books so that they're read. And the person who's distributing the books, they should be the first ones to read them, just in case someone asks, what's in it? I said, I don't know, I just don't. And so Srila Prabhupada really labored in order to sit here and translate and give us that knowledge, that transcendental knowledge, because without it, our working really becomes just work. It doesn't become Krishna conscious. We require good chanting, we require transcendental knowledge to have us properly situated so that our consciousness is such that then because the quality of work depends upon the quality of your consciousness. So Bhagavad Gita is all about raising your consciousness. The activity may be the very same. Maybe the identical activity, but according to what consciousness and motivation you're performing that activity, it can be karma yoga, it can be just simply kama, it can be sakam karma yoga, nishkam karma yoga, it can be yoga mishra bhakti, it can be jnana mishra bhakti, it can be pure devotional service, it can be spontaneous devotional service, and it all depends on the consciousness. And it's the very same activity, like chanting Hare Krishna. So people chant Hare Krishna, get to the heavenly planets. It's not devotional service by any means. But they do that. And then other people chant Hare Krishna simply to glorify Krishna. So same activity, but the consciousness determines. And in order for our consciousness to be suitable, we need to hear. And we need to associate You need to associate with Prabhupada, you need to associate with the Acharyas, and Shukadeva Goswami, and Krishna. That's why there needs to be a lot of emphasis just on that, because we live in a society, an information age, where literally speaking, information is coming out of everyone's ears. But we need to make this information, Krishna's information, the message he's giving, our real staple. That has to be the most important information that we're digesting. Because everyone's getting educated, they're learning so many things, they're studying, they're applying themselves. I mean, can you imagine where we would be if everyone studied the Bhagavad Gita as hard as they studied for their exams in who knows what kind of degree and for how many years? Things would really, really be flying. But we tend not to take it as seriously. Be sort of satisfied that if I have faith in Krishna, I believe in Krishna, that's enough. But once again, belief is, faith is something that has a real qualitative dimension, from being just very minor to very, very deep. Do we have the faith of a Kanishtha Adhikari? Do we have the faith of a Prahlad Maharaj? And that faith really develops by our hearing, association. Someone else? Passion, again, is something that Krishna defines as being fruitive. So when someone's passionate, he's doing something, not necessarily because he's very active, but he's doing something because he really is. You know, there's no, the wall there is wide. If we had another door out on the other, then at least it would be like sort of a windbreaker. It won't be two doors open at the same time. Yeah, passion means that someone's actually fruit. If he wants to enjoy the results of what he's doing, and he's doing something with that motivation. Whereas someone may be very active, but at the same time his motive may be to please Krishna or to make spiritual advancement, which means it's not passionate. So there's a difference between, just like Arjuna must have been, you have to be very active again on the battlefield. You're going to sort of slouch around. So, or you can't be like, you know, a yogi meditating. So you've really got to be active. But he is just doing it to please Krishna. So there's no question of passion. It was just all transcendental. And that's, of course, sometimes people's natures, their modes of material nature are either passionate or goodness or ignorance. So they may not have motivation, but their inbred guna, their inbred nature, according to their body, is like that. If someone talks and yells real loud and fast because that's how he's been conditioned from a previous life, that's sort of something else. But it can't be said to be really passionate. Passion always means what motivation is.
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said once that to preach you need to have a little passion. I don't recall the exact
You know, you have to have a Kshatriya spirit. Prabhupada would say that you need to have a Kshatriya spirit to preach. In other words, because the Kshatriyas want results. And it's not even so much a matter of passion that they're, you know, you may say that they're passionate. Arjuna may, you can say that, yes, the whole activity of fighting is a passionate activity, but he wasn't passionate. He was pleasing Krishna. So a Kshatriya also needs to be result-oriented. He's also trying to conquer, and he actually meets up with obstacles. You know, a Brahmin is like, take it or leave it. Here it is, and, you know, or I'm sitting here. If you want to come to me, that's fine. And if you don't, that's okay too. But preaching means no. You go out, you meet obstacles, you have to face obstacles, you have to be willing to fight them and not turn away from them. Because, like Jagaya Mada, so Haridas Thakur, you know, ran away. Lord Nityananda just stayed there and was willing to take the consequences. So that type of preaching spirit requires that, yeah, one has some Kshatriya blood. Something else? We're going until 7:30, right? Yeah. How do we know it isn't?
How do we know that, because everything we do is related to Krishna, so then naturally we become more attached to Krishna, we're hearing about Krishna. So right. It's a real question for me, even though it sounds very skeptical. It's something I really wonder. I understand that Shastra says, but still I have doubt. So.
Yeah, we're becoming conditioned. That's the whole idea. We're becoming conditioned. The Prabhupada even used the word brainwashed. We're becoming brainwashed. We're becoming conditioned to be Krishna conscious. So we became conditioned because we're little creatures. We're very tiny, and we just take on the qualities of that with which we associate. So when we associate with matter, we take on the identity of matter. When we associate with Krishna, we take on the identity of Krishna, or we become Krishna conscious. Not that we become Krishna, but that we become Krishna's servants. And that's exactly what Krishna consciousness means. So the example of all people is Hiranyakashipu, who gives the example of a crystal. And Prabhupada quotes that, you know, consciousness is like a crystal. You just hold it up to something, whatever you hold it up to, that's what reflects in it. So you hold up a crystal to a flower, and then you'll see the pink in the crystal. You hold it up to the sun, and you'll see gold, and so everything will reflect in that crystal. And that's what we are. So we're trying to get out of reflecting matter, and we're trying to get into reflecting Krishna. And when we fully reflect Krishna, then that's the perfection of our lives. So it's all about changing our nature. It's all about becoming less materially molded and becoming molded to become Krishna's servants.
But how do we know that that's reality?
You should be able to see it on your consciousness. So your ultimate reality is what you perceive. And you perceive your consciousness, and you perceive with your consciousness. So Bhagavatam repeats right in the very beginning, very jnatma supersedati. You should be able to perceive it by your own consciousness. See if your consciousness is changing or not. And in your consciousness, you should be able to perceive Krishna, either in your activities of when you're waking or sleeping. So the proof is you. You're the proof. You should see that your consciousness changes. doesn't it?
I was just thinking that if we have so many faults, then what we're perceiving can be so valuable. So, well, then I guess the answer is Shastra.
You're talking about it's fallible?
Yeah.
That what you're perceiving is fallible, but you're not perceiving, you're receiving something that's perfect. And as long as you don't change it, then what you're perceiving and what you're experiencing is perfect. Just like the crystal, you hold it up, it's just reflecting, it doesn't change anything. That's its function. So although we may be very fallible and we may have imperfect senses, but when our senses are used in the avaroha panta, in a descending process, then that's their perfect function. Then they function perfectly. When I say Hare Krishna, you hear Hare Krishna. You don't hear anything else. You don't hear pizza. So you hear Hare Krishna. So that's the perfect use of your senses. So when we use our senses for receiving knowledge, then that's proper. And when we're receiving perfect knowledge, then our consciousness is being perfectly molded. And that's the difference between these two paths, Aroha Panta, Avaroha Panta. The empiric path, the path of ascending knowledge, where we want to use our senses in order to actually find out what is reality. And because our senses are limited and imperfect, and we tend to be illusion, and so many other things, then we can never really quite, either it's neither reliable, neither do we ever really get any perfect result. But when we use the senses for how they're actually designed, they're designed for us to just receive. You don't have to figure out what the absolute truth is. The absolute truth knows what it is. So all you have to do is just listen to him tell you what he is. So Krishna says, Tat Shrinu. He says, now just hear from me. He says, now I'll tell you. So what Krishna tells us, we accept that and we put it into practice. And then it works. And then how do we know it works? We should see it in our consciousness, and we should actually be able to put it to practice. So if we're really applying Krishna consciousness, then ultimately the different things that Krishna says, that one should chaitodarpanamajanam, your heart becomes purified, you become free from lust and greed and anger, you're able to remember Krishna, your consciousness becomes absorbed in Krishna, and you're able to think about Krishna. So all of these things naturally takes place, and there's a checks and balance in the scientific process of Krishna consciousness. But you have to do it right. You can't expect the result if you're not doing it right and not doing it fully. So that's the main thing. So Krishna also says, Shushukam Kartam Abhyayam. You tell me if you're feeling happiness from the execution of devotional service. Now you perceive it directly. Can we end there? And then go downstairs a few minutes. Okay, thank you very much. This was sort of squeezed in, or at least I was squeezed in between the different programs. So we just keep it at this length, and then I'm sure you have regular programs, weekly or... Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shara Gokulananda ki jai. Gaur Bhaktavinda ki jai.